greet you tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. The one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm thankful tonight that we serve a risen Savior. One that has died, lay in the grave for 3 days, and he arose to die no more. I would like to thank you for your kindness to us, Pam and I. We have enjoyed our stay. Tuesday night when we got here, I'm going to be honest with you, I had a few trepidations. God is faithful. And there were unknown friends here. And there were old friends here. And thank you for your kindness. Pray for us. We would be in the service of God as he would have, and that we would be faithful. And I want to do the same for you. I invite your attention to Psalm 1 tonight. What I thought I wanted to preach about last night for tonight, and what I woke up this morning was different, and so I feel led to speak from Psalm 1 tonight. I'd like to read the first three verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse 1. Blessed, happy, tells the state or the attitude of a man that is living for God. Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Gives us a picture tonight of a man who does not walk with the ungodly. He doesn't stand with sinners, and he doesn't sit himself with those that are of an evil heart. Gives a picture of a man whose interests and his loyalties are to a higher and divine call. When a man's transgressions are covered, when a man's sins are not imputed unto him by God, he is a man whose heart is pure and true. A man where there is no guile, no pretense. He is true blue. What you see is what he is. He hides nothing, and all is open before man and before God. A beautiful image, as I think of that. Some of the key words that I would think of tonight is law in verse 2, delight, meditate, fruit, and prosper. What do you think of when you think of God's law tonight? Do you think it as precepts? Do you think it as words that give life? Or do you think of when you think the law of God as that which demands? And how you and I view the word tonight, this here, this right here, how you and I view that tonight will determine if it is a delightful thing or something that we do because of a have-to spirit. It will determine if I love to meditate or if I allow things to crowd that out. And my life will not bear fruit. And I will wonder why I just slug along in life. I would have read the verse last night, but I'm going to read it again tonight. And that is from Matthew 6 and verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It is an elementary fact that the things that I love, that is where my interest is. That is where my loyalty is. That is what I love to give attention and time to. Galatians 6 and verse 7 would say, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you and I tonight, I will harvest what I sow. The harvest is always larger than the seed that was sown, more plentiful. When in the spring of the year you plant your garden, you can go along and plant the little seeds. If you plant carrots, there'll be carrots that'll come there. If you plant lettuce, there'll be little sprigs of green come up, and lettuce will spring from those seeds. The same is true in our life. The seed that you and I have within our heart will bear fruit. Tonight, I would like to think of the acts of a righteous man. Delighting in God, the acts of a righteous man, the first point that I would have tonight, he delights in the law of God in verse 2. When I think of the word delight, I think of satisfaction. I think of delightful. That a field with wonder. Captivating. Or, you know, something that has pleasure in it. Something that I like to do. Brings gratification. That is some of the thoughts that I thought about when I thought of the word delight. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, it would say, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. When you and I delight in God tonight, there is trust and dependence in the thought that in thy presence is fullness of joy. There is a continual going for more because there is satisfaction. When you and I do not have satisfaction in life, we lose interest in that thing. But when I think of in thy presence is fullness of joy, that is talking of something that if we have a heart after God, we'll be back for more. I have an old Swedish friend at home. Getting pretty old now. But you know, whenever you would call Mr. Leo, you just know You just know that for about 3 or 4 minutes, you're going to talk about the Lord. You're going to talk about the good things that He has done. He's going to tell you what the Lord has done for him and his wife, and all the things that pertain to life. And he is not ashamed to tell you. And then when he gets done, and he'll say, and Mr. Marvin, how has the Lord been to you? He delights. He delights in God's law. Psalm 119 and verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. The testimony of the Lord. What do you count it's worth tonight? What do I consider a testimony of God, of what He has done and is doing? Is it valuable to me? Verse 47 of 119. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And verse 92. Psalm 119. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have then perished in mine affliction. Has the law been your stay? Has the Word of God been that which has nourished your soul? When it seems as though all the world doesn't understand, when it seems the sun may never shine, and you may think that you are in a valley, it is then where it says, unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine afflictions. That is a testimony of one who delights in God, I believe. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The more that I delight in God's presence tonight, I believe the more fruitful we are, because it's the law of sowing and reaping. It is the law of God. It is the law that cannot be denied. Psalm 119 and verse 140 would say, thy word is very pure. I think that's interesting. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. So it is speaking of quality, of its depth, and of its character. The second point that I would have of the acts of a righteous man, he meditates in the word day and night. That is also in verse 2. Joshua 1 and verse 8 would say, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That was Joshua speaking to the children of Israel. He was telling them, preparing them for a life ahead. When I think of meditating day and night, and thinking of the thought that, oh, how love I thy law, what I would have read while ago, it is my meditation all the day. Now tonight, we love to give allowance for our shortcomings. I am of the same nature. We're carnal. That's what we are. But we, everyone tonight, if we love to make allowance for the shortcomings of myself, and we like to hold the rope pretty tight on others. But when you and I meditate, I have found that when I meditate on God's law, when I meditate on the good things of God, it will put our minds on a different level. Our minds will be in a state where God can speak to us. We can see the beauty of God. We can behold His glories. Speaking for myself. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4 through verse 12. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Tonight, this is a warning to I. It is a warning to you. If we do not take due diligence tonight to live life for Jesus Christ, if you and I do not make a deliberate choice to tell our children, to tell our families, to tell those that we live with, and to those that you and I meet. It pretty much says the whole day long and night long. When thou liest, when thou sittest, when thou standest, when thou eatest, on the doorpost and on the doors, ever before us. Now, I don't know what all that means. Does that mean that on this wall over here, or on the walls of your children's bedrooms, you're going to have a little bookcase there, and you're going to have every Sunday paper for the last month there so that he can read it? Is that what that means? Does that mean that I'm going to spend 5 minutes every evening with my child to read him a Bible story? I believe it can mean all of that. But I believe it's of a much deeper than that. Because when you and I have a burning passion for God and His things, then your wife, your little ones, your grandchildren, if you're old, you are going to speak of God. And you're going to live life so that your life is an example. Meditates therein day and night. We speak of the simplicity of the gospel. And the gospel is that which I believe is lived out so that young and old can see Jesus. Third point I have of the acts of a righteous man is he concentrates to obey God. A surrendered life to the Lord A life that is a full devotion unto God. Isaiah 56 and 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. To the best of our ability, we live life so that I am not an offense unto my Savior, and I am not an offense to my brother. To do justice, fairness, treating all men equal. I show no partiality. Do justice. Keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the things that when you read the scripture and it tells us how to live, tells us the qualities of life that we are to pursue, the characteristics of God, the attributes of the Christian life. One of the things that you will note is that it is always a plane higher. It reaches into avenues that are much higher than carnal man. Here it is that we prove the things that are good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you and I have a new perspective of life, our outlook changes, doesn't it? When you and I know that I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus, that gives me a whole new perspective of life because I no longer am bound by sin. The fourth act of a righteous man I have, that he makes the word, the Bible, his rule of life and conduct. James 1 would tell us in verse 22 through 27, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You and I tonight are saved from sin. We are rooted out of sin, if you want to call it like that. And we are planted in God's kingdom. I tonight would desire and do desire to have a life that is undefiled before God. But if that is my goal, then I am going to pay attention to things of life that take deliberate choice. Take a decisive call of right or wrong. You know, so often we think that we can go through life, nobody really knows, nobody pays attention, and I can just kind of coast along. I have been told, and I have paid observed this, that watch a man who's, see a man's closest, five closest friends, whoever you deem to be those dearest to you, the five people, those five people will reveal your character. Because we say that evil communications corrupt good manners. But it is also true that when a man's heart is pure and he is with friends that are pure, iron sharpeneth iron. And so then the Bible, the things that pertain to God are what is His rule of life. I believe also an act of a righteous man, he will feed on the Bible to grow spiritually. Revelation 1 and verse 3 would say, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Romans 10 and verse 17 would tell us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I want my faith to grow in God tonight, then I will spend time here in the word of God. Another point that I have tonight, and it's not necessarily and the acts of a righteous man, but I would like to think of his life and what it does. In verse 3, it talks about that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his leaf in his, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Gives a picture of a great and a majestic tree that is alongside a stream of water where the roots can grow down and those roots tap into moisture. And so in the hot summer day, those leaves show no sign of a lack of water because its roots are there where the water is. It is a place where all the birds can come, sit on its limbs in the shade of the day and find comfort. It is there in that tree that as it stands tall and strong, those leaves of that tree take in carbon dioxide, the nasty things that you and I breathe out, and all those things that are not necessarily healthy. It takes in those impurities of the air. It takes in the sunshine that beats upon its leaves. And as the rain falls from heaven, those leaves, the tree, takes in the water. And in those three things, the way that God has made that tree, that energy that it creates from those three things, it creates a sugar. And one of the byproducts of that sugar is that those leaves then in return give out oxygen. It gives out life. It gives out health. It gives out that which brings vitality. It gives makes men whole. And when it stands true and strong along that riverbank where it gathers the water for its roots, it makes it that riverbank will not erode and wash away. My thought tonight in closing is this. Am I as a tree tonight, bearing forth, allowing the being a part of the world? Because the scripture says that it is not what a man takes in that defiles him, but it's what comes forth that flows from his heart. He is nourished by the divine nature of God. And as he allows the things of God to come into his life, they can be bitter things. They can be healthy things. They can be pleasant things. But all those things, he allows those things to filter through the filter of God through his heart. And then in return, instead of pouring evil upon evil, he will heap coals of fire and he will return good for evil. He is the salt of the earth. He is a light to the in the dark world. He is that which men can see, and there is without a doubt, men will know that you have a Savior that you love. May God bless each of you. Thank you.